Good evening. Before we get started tonight, I'd like to publicly thank my wife for happy anniversary this past Sunday, 46 years she put up with me. And I just want to tell her I love her.
Amen.
Amen. The message that I had for tonight, how many of you were here the Sunday that Mike Payton was here? How many of you remember the pastor telling the congregation to shut up? I was going to title my message tonight, Shut Up, but I... let me ask you this question. How many of you in here know what confidentiality means? Well, most preachers have to honor that because when they're talking to someone about something going on in their life, the preacher can't go blabbing to everybody else in the church. That's confidentiality, not telling everybody else. Yeah. So, I made a vow to tell a joke before I got started my message, just to keep Brother George here. He always told a joke before he started his message. And the story goes like this, it kind of goes in with everything else. There was three preachers who went on vacation. And while they were on vacation, they vow to tell what their biggest problem in life was, or their sin, or whatever was going on in their life. And the one preacher says, you know, he says, I've really got a problem with gambling. He says, man, I just can't stop gambling. He says, I can't do it. And the other one, he says, well, he says, I got a problem with the internet. He says, I just keep looking at stuff I have no business looking at. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. And both of those guys looked at the third guy and said, well, what's yours? He said, man, I can't wait to get out of here. I got a problem with confidentiality. He's going to go back and tell everybody what's going on. Look at that. That'd be good. Amen. Hey, everybody got two pieces of paper? Everybody got two pieces of paper? Who don't have two pieces of paper? Carl. I should have had Carl give one and Jason give one. They couldn't count to two. That was a problem. They had an issue with that. After you get the two pieces of paper, listen, the one piece of paper, leave it looking just like that. The other piece of paper, I want you to make a ball with it as best as you can make it. Tight as you can make it. Just keep working. Keep working to make that thing tight as you can make it. And we're going to find out a little later in the message what this has got to do with anything. Probably nothing, but it's a good exercise. Use it as a stress ball while I'm preaching. That way you won't be throwing things at me. That's the main thing it's for. Amen. Hold on to that. Before we get started, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here tonight. God, the message that you gave me, God, was been 6-8 months ago. Lord, I pray that you would help me to present it the way you would want it to present it. God, move me aside. I want you to stand behind this holy desk, God. Shield me, God. Help me, God. God, I pray that the folks here tonight came with their hearts tender, with their minds open, wanting to hear something from you. Because that's why I'm here, God. I want to hear something from you tonight. Help me. I thank and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles tonight, and in case you don't know, Wednesday night is Bible study, missionary night. So if you go to a Bible study, you should have your Bible with you. If you got your Bible with you, turn to James chapter 3. It's kind of going to be, a little bit of a study type preach thing. But God showed me some things here about 6 months, maybe a year ago, maybe even been a year ago now. But I seen some things going on, not just here, but just in the world. It just seemed like people were just mean to other people. Just mean to them. I got another message called Things That Can't Be Retrieved. And Things That Can't Be Retrieved is a spoken word. A stone after it's been cast. And a final breath. We're going to talk a little bit about that word tonight. James chapter 3, look along with me here, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitudes of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so." Well, I had a blessing last week. I've been working with this crew for about 3 weeks. I don't know, the devil, man, he knows how to get things done. This one young boy we got on the job, he's a mess. He reminds me so much of me when I was his age. But he was in a real bad automobile accident when he was like 18 years old, had learned how to walk, talk, and everything all over again. But he's got a drinking problem. And he's got a problem with his mouth. He told me last Friday, he said, "Listen," he said, "I want you to do me a favor." He said, "Every time I use the Lord's name in vain," he said, "I want you to slap me across my face." Amen. I said, "Okay." He says, "Now when you slap me on Monday and I look at you funny," he says, "probably because I forgot to tell you to do that." But you know, it's funny, I haven't worked on that crew since Friday. They moved me. But that boy could see something different in my language. Amen. From his. And if this world can't see something different in your language than the world's language, something's wrong. Something's wrong, drastically wrong. It says the tongue is a little member. I would say that 90%, that's a large number, 90% of our problems comes from our mouth. Comes from our mouth. James 5:12, look at James 5:12. James 5:12. It says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Sometimes we don't know what to say, so we just say something. We're best off just keep our mouths shut. and not say anything, or just answer it with a yay or a nay. I'll tell you what, that'll save you a whole lot of trouble in life. A whole lot of trouble in life. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, turn there with me. We're going to turn around, move around here a little bit. 6:16, Proverbs. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look and a lying tongue. A lying tongue. It says, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. God hates a liar.
Amen.
God hates a liar. The devil is a liar. And if you're lying, your father is a liar. God can't lie. These six things do the Lord hate? A proud look, a lying tongue. God says he hates a lying tongue. Ecclesiastes 5:5. Turn over there real quick. Next book over. 5:5. It says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that shouldest vow and not pay. I don't know how many times as a parent or as a husband or even as a son or even as a pastor of a church or even as a deacon in the church or whatever position you got, Sunday school teacher, or whatever position you got, I don't know how many times that in reality, by telling somebody that I would do something and didn't do it, not didn't do it intentionally, but just didn't do it, I lied.
Amen.
I lied. I don't know how many times I told my kids, we're going to go on vacation, we're going to go to Six Flags, or we're going to go here, we're going to go there, and the funds never came through, and they never went. Your kids are watching you.
Amen.
Are you honest with them?
Amen.
Are you honest in front of them?
Amen.
They're watching us. They're watching us.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that old saying, what you do in moderation, your kids do in excess?
That's right, amen.
Well, you could turn one of your kids into one of the biggest liars there ever was just by telling them one lie. Hey, mom and dad did it. It's okay. I can do it too. That's fine. I can do it. They did it. Didn't hurt nobody. Tongue, a little member, will get you in big trouble. Let's go back to James chapter 5, or James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. I don't know why it is, but I noticed some of the other guys are the same way. When you first get up here, you're anxious, and you start talking real quick, and you get off subject, and you forget where you're at. And I've been doing this long enough now that this shouldn't be happening. But you know what? The Lord wants things done right.
Amen.
And this is a scary place right here.
Amen.
Scary place. Especially when you're in another man's pulpit.
Amen.
Verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setting on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Our tongues defile our whole body. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 10. Jesus is trying to get something straightened out here between his disciples. In verse 10 he says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But them alone they be blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in a ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. Now look here in verse 16, Jesus says, Are ye also yet without understanding? If you look back in verse 10, that was the first thing he said. He said, Hear and understand. We just don't pay attention sometimes to what people say. You know, not paying attention to what someone's saying could get you in as much trouble as not listening at all. Jesus says, again, Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out unto the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The tongue is a little member, can defile the whole body. What comes out of your mouth can make a difference in whether you keep your testimony. You know, it's funny because I read a thing about testimonies one time, and according to the dictionary, nobody in this room has a testimony because you don't have a testimony until you're dead. That's why we need to be real careful in what we do. What is people going to remember you for when you die? Because that's when your testimony is going to be real. What things came out of your mouth? You could lose your testimony. You could ruin it. I said it before and I'll say it again. People are watching and they're listening. Verse 7 says, Everything has been tamed of mankind. How about that? Everything has been tamed of mankind. Verse 8 says, But the tongue. Go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 13. We'll back up to verse 9. It says, What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way and are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats, verse 13 is what I want you to see here. Their throats is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. We're talking about lost people. God's talking about lost people here. If a lost person can look at you and see a difference in you, and they see enough difference that they want to be changed, then you must be doing something right. But when they look at you and they say, hey, he ain't no different than I am, why would I want to go to his church, or why would I want to go to any of his functions? Why would I even want to hang around with him? He's doing the same thing I do. He's no better than I am. That verse 14 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Go back to James chapter 5, chapter 3. Verse 10 through 13 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a fig, a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endureth, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Did you go back to James chapter 3, straight there in the same chapter, back to verse 2. I want you to see something here. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, if you can control your tongue, then you can control all areas of your body, all areas of your life. But from what it says in God's word, we can't control the tongue. Because it says if we do, we would be perfect. And there was only one perfect man ever born on earth. Jesus Christ. Titus 3:12. Is that the right? I'm sorry, 3, 1, and 2. I'm running right down alongside each other. I thought it was 12. 1 and 2. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good works, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. In order to be a Christian, you need to speak no evil. You need to speak no evil. And sometimes we get mad, fly off the handle, and that tongue, well, I tell you what, it'll get you in trouble. And we'll say things, I told you earlier, something that can't be received is a spoken word. Once that thing comes out of there, it stays out. You can try your best to reel it back in. You can back up. You can try to rephrase it. You can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you right now, when somebody says something wicked, mean, angry, hurtful, evil to me, it strikes me right in the heart. And my mind remembers that from that day forward. Even when I try to forget it, I remember it. God's the only one that can forget that thing. We remember those things, and it hurts us. It hurts us. 1 Peter 2:1. Says again, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. lay aside evil speakings. Don't entertain those thoughts. Now, I want to say this because I've seen it. I've seen it in our church. When the Lord gave me this message, and like I said, 6-8 months ago, maybe a year ago, there were some things going on with some of the teenagers, some of the young kids in the church. And I seen this thing going on, and God gave me this message. And I wanted to say this. My guess is that everybody in this room, including myself, has said something about someone else not knowing the whole story and have damaged a relationship. However, some of those relationships have been restored. Take that piece of paper I give you to crumble up and open it up. I want to say this to you. You can take this piece of paper and you can smooth it out. You can stretch it out. You can do a lot with this piece of paper. But you know what? The scars are still there. The relationship may be mended, but you know what? It will never, ever, never be the same again. And that don't just go for our young people. It goes for our adults too. Sometimes we say things hurtful to our wives. Sometimes we say things that are hurtful to our husbands. Sometimes we say things that are hurtful to our kids. We need to be careful. We need to be real careful with that tongue. I'm sure there's been people that have left the church because of something somebody said to them. Primarily because we don't have a whole story on something. We get a part of the story, and we go on that thing.
Right.
And then we gossip about it. It goes to the next person, and the next person got a part of the story that you got a part of the story of.
Right.
And that thing grows just like a canker sore.
Amen.
And it'll grow and grow and fester until that thing erupts. Then you got a serious issue. We need to be real careful with what we say and who we say it to. The unblemished ones are relationship before you open their big mouth. The other crinkled paper is a relationship that has been restored no matter how hard you try. That relationship will never be the same. Tonight, I'm just saying what my Lord has said to me. If you don't have something good to say, say nothing. I just wanted to give us something to think about. Is there someone not in church tonight because of one of our thoughtless statements? Let me say this. If you've said something to someone and you know you hurt them, and you can think of who that person was, that's someone. We need to get it right. You know, a lot of times we'll go into meetings and we want God to do something, and somewhere or another, there's a splinter that's festering. And that one little splinter that's festering could ruin the whole meeting. Maybe they didn't leave the church. Maybe they just came with withdrawn. Maybe they're just withdrawn a little bit now. And they don't associate like they used to. They, as soon as the doors open, they're out the door. Or they come in, they used to sit up front here somewhere in the front area, and now they're sitting in the back. So they don't got to be near that person that insulted them or that person that hurt them. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. It says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just because someone's a little weird, just because someone new coming to the church and they're a little weird, think about this. I see people every day, and there's some weird people in the world. But you know what? They look back at me, and they probably say, well, that dude over there is weird as they come. Every one of us has got our own little quirks. Every one of us. And we can't, if we're going to allow something like that to divide us, well, we got problems. I've met some really weird people and got to know them, and, man, they turned out to be pretty good friends. And really cool people. But a lot of times we don't give them the chance. You got to give people a chance. I mean, God gave you a chance. He gave me a chance. We got to give people a chance. But just because they're a little bit weird to you, don't give you the right to snub them. It don't give me the right to snub them. I mean, we had some new people in the church here recently, and thank God. People went around and they introduced themselves to them. They shook their hand. They said, "Where are you from? How you doing? Have you been around here long?" I mean, you talk to people. Talk to people. I'm telling you right now, if I went to a place, and it wouldn't have to be a church. I don't care where it was. If I went to a place where the people were unfriendly, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. People come to church, man, they expect people to be friendly. They expect people to be loving, kind, courteous, caring. That's what I want to be. I hope you all want to be the same. But I just wanted to give you this little lesson plan here. It's nothing major or nothing big. Just something I want you to pray about. Pray about what you've heard tonight. Take it home with you. Think about maybe something, somebody somewhere, something maybe you offended or whatever. We do it. We offend people every day and not even mean it. I'll tell you a little story. This happened to me yesterday. I was going down the road in a dump truck. My dump truck's governed at 60 miles an hour. That's as fast as it'll go. And I'm going down Route 1, and this guy in this gray or gold little Ford Ranger truck, he's driving like an idiot. I'm watching him in the mirror, man. He's going in and out of traffic, in and out of traffic. Well, I run with my cruise control on. So I'm on cruise control 60 miles an hour. It never, ever fails. You'll run up on somebody that's doing 57 or 58. Now, I know for a fact, if I pull out in that left-hand lane, it's going to take me a minute or two to get by that guy. What did I do? Pulled over, that guy in the little gold truck right there. He's right on my bumper. Now, it takes me, I know, a good 3 or 4 minutes to get past his car. And I pulled back in, man. He pulled up alongside me, blowing the horn. He was flipping me off. And, you know, I'm thinking, he don't even know the whole story. I was going as fast. He thought I pulled over, I guess, and to slow him down. That wasn't my purpose. But we got to be careful with things we do and how we do them, because that happens in life. We do things to offend people and didn't even know we done it. We just need to be careful. We need to watch our mouths. That mouth will get you in a whole lot of trouble. Give you something to think about tonight, something to take home with you, something to pray about. Amen. Brother Kenyon will come and take an offering. Oh, by the way, this is a multi-purpose piece of paper. The good piece of paper you got left, write down prayer requests.
Amen.